Welcome to the Philharmonic Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:25 British Summer Time. Today is May 25th. Well, today was characterized by a pretty steady day on stock markets. The A shares in China were reasonably steady today. That's following a large downward dynamic 3 days ago, and they really do need to get back above that 3,000 level to suggest that demand is returning in this area. Elsewhere in Asia, the Nikkei was weaker by about half of 1%. And remains well. There's been a great deal of technical damage done to that market, and remains susceptible to an additional pullback. The Australian market was weaker by almost a full percentage point. That continues to pull back from the upper side of an 18-month range. In the ASEAN region, the Indonesian market, having had a large downward dynamic within the context of the last few months' trading in the last couple of days, was relatively steady today, and it was a relatively similar story for the rest of Asia. And the Indian market was also weaker in here today, and it's broken below the 18,000 level and is approaching the most recent of the major reaction lows, and it really does need to find support in that area if the bullish medium-term prognosis is going to remain intact. There's a progression of lower rally highs that have been that it's been forming since November. It needs to get above 20,000, and that's quite a way away at this point to indicate that medium-term demand has returned to the fore. In the Indian market has sustained more technical damage than just about any of the other Asian markets, with the exception of Japan and China. And there is a the inflationary pressures that remain in India, and the policy response that has been put in place has tightened conditions really quite considerably. So there is the risk of some additional downside in the Indian market, and it's at a very interesting level right now, because if it's going to rally, it's going to do it in it will need to get about it in the short term. Into the European markets, the majority of markets in Europe were a bit steadier, and those which had fallen the most, which were Spain and Italy, were both stronger by about 1%. The Swedish market is also a bit of a standout, because it is stronger today by about 1.5%, and has it's been a relative strength leader among the European indices, and it has pushed up rather emphatically over the last couple of weeks. So it's still in a position as a relative strength leader. And the Danish market, which has lost some of its upside momentum, was also a bit firmer in here today. As we approach the close on Wall Street, both the Dow and the S&P are up in the region of about 2/3 of 1%, and the Nasdaq is a little bit more than that. The TSX in Canada is up over 1%, and both Mexico and Brazil are in positive territory, although really relatively unchanged on the day. If we look to the commodity market, it is really where the action was today. And the silver market was stronger by $1.78. Oil was stronger by just under $2, and is back above the $100 area on West Texas Intermediate. In the soft commodities sector, cotton, which has had one of the largest pullbacks, has found support in the region of the 200-day moving average, at least in the short term. The feeder cattle market has also pulled back very sharply in the last few days, and appears to be finding support in the region of the upper side of the previous range. And that range was in approximately 3 to 4 years in terms of duration, so it's an important area for it to find support. The cotton and sugar markets were also steadier in here today. Sorry, cocoa and sugar, and indeed coffee. The grains were also all steady in here, with corn up 9 cents, wheat up 16, and soybeans up 4. And elsewhere in the precious metal sector, platinum is stronger by $21. It's up to 1,783. Palladium is back up to $750 even. And the gold market was relatively unchanged in here today. The dollar wasn't particularly weak here, so this isn't anything to do with a an inverse correlation to the US dollar, but perhaps more that we've seen so many of these commodities pull back so very sharply. They bore the brunt of the deleveraging process that we've had in the last few weeks, perhaps the last month, and a number of them are a little bit oversold in the short term, and quite a few have pulled back to areas of potential support. So we're getting a little bit of an unwind of the short-term oversold conditions, and some of the short positions are being squeezed in here. Silver, in particular, has pulled back remarkably sharply from 50 to almost $30, and it's found support just above the 200-day moving average, which is currently just over $30, and it's closing out the day closer to $38, having rallied impressively over the last 2 days. So a large number of these commodities have completed reversions towards their means, and they're in the process of perhaps unwinding some of the short positions and building support in these areas. And that's supportive of the general bull market hypothesis, and they would need to take out the recent lows that they've put in and break below their 200-day moving averages to really question the medium-term bullish hypothesis. Oil back above $100 and pulling away from this little consolidation that it's put in over the last couple of weeks isn't particularly good news for the global economy. We've had a moderate spike in crude oil prices, and the recent rally over the last 6 weeks in treasuries, and not just in treasuries, there's been a high degree of commonality across the sovereign bond market, has been pricing in a slower GDP growth globally. The fact that we're seeing that these commodity prices have pulled back and they're finding support suggests that the higher price environment is going to be sustained, not just in the short term, but perhaps over the medium term. Provided we don't get a surge higher, the month over month and potentially even year-over-year inflationary pressures will moderate if prices hold more or less where they are for a while. But that isn't something that we can count on. Such has been the speed with which some of these commodities have pulled back. They could bounce rather emphatically as some of the shorts are squeezed out, and that could put some pressure on stock markets. Whereas in the risk asset class, the commodity markets have rallied really rather well in here today. You haven't really seen that kind of rally in stock markets, and they continue to look susceptible to some additional ranging and probably a somewhat more gradual reversion back towards their means. The US dollar continues to remain quite steady. It's broken its 4 month progression of lower highs against the euro, and was relatively unchanged against the euro today. But it's also still quite steady against comparatively firm currencies such as the Australian dollar, where it was very slightly stronger, and against the Canadian dollar, where it was relatively unchanged. The fact that we've had such a big bounce in commodities, and not just in one particular section of the commodity sector, but right across the commodity sector, suggests that where that was the focus of deleveraging over the last month, that is more than likely coming to an end. And the best case scenario would be that once this short covering rally has run its course, that they pull back and find some support. If one were to take a step back and look at the medium to longer term, and we have a whole section of the chart library devoted to inflation adjusted charts, and I would suggest taking a look at those and looking at some very, very long term data, one can see that The precious metals broke out of inflation-adjusted downtrends a number of years ago, and the same with the energy complex. Industrial metals were followed after that, and it's only been in the last year and a half to 2 years that we've seen that the agricultural commodities are breaking out of inflation-adjusted downtrends. And more recently, that was cotton and some of the meat contracts that have broken out of 30-year inflation-adjusted downtrends. That is all highly supportive of the fact that we're into a new inflationary environment. The current rally that we're having in treasury prices is likely to be a short-term affair rather than a medium to longer-term affair. The lows that were put in US treasuries a couple of years ago are very likely to have been the absolute top of the market. Something that we associate with the top of every market is an explosion in supply. There is no doubt that we've had that in the government bond markets. The fact that we've seen so many of these commodities break out of inflation-adjusted downtrends suggests that we can see that inflation is coming down the pipeline. So the fact that we've had an explosion in the number of government bonds that are outstanding, and that we know inflationary pressures are mounting on the periphery, then that would suggest that significant rallies in government bond prices are likely to be shorting opportunities more often than not for the foreseeable future. When one is shorting government bonds, one is going against the central bank, and that's often a risky prospect. So how does one take a view that we are going to have a more inflationary prone environment over the medium to longer term without running into trouble by attempting to trade against the central bank, which has the ability to print money? And the answer has got to be in high yielding equities, particularly those that are leveraged to global growth, because in a scenario where we are in a global super cycle of growth, which is extremely likely, and where the rise of the global middle class is helping to stoke demand for all consumer type, for just about anything that will help to improve the standard of living of hundreds of millions of people, that's a very wide category. And just about all Western countries have companies that are highly leveraged to global growth. There's a large number of those companies have got a long history of paying dividends. That means that we have potential for capital appreciation over the medium to long term, but also that because they pay a respectable, or not so much a high yield, but a reliable yield, that they are also more likely to maintain their value again in an inflationary environment. So that's one of the reasons that dividend aristocrats have become a fuller money theme, both because they offer leverage to a major bull market, but also that they offer the potential to be a hedge against an inflationary background, which is a significant risk, perhaps not in the short term, but over the medium to longer term. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, but wish all the best to all of you.